Today's scripture reading is from the book of Luke, chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Don't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I thank our brother in Christ for sharing that word that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. Would you please join with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word. It's not simply ink on paper. It's not dead. It is alive. It's breathing. In fact, it speaks to us. Thank you for your word and the truth that it conveys. And it's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. One of two phrases applies to most people. Rules are rules. Or, rules are meant to be broken. I can see just by looking at the glimmer in your eyes where you fall. And I'm taking mental notes. There was a golf tournament just recently, the PGA Championship, and it gathered a lot of press, not because there was a playoff to decide who would win, but rather who was not in that playoff. I believe it was the PGA Championship. This is just last weekend. So golfer Dustin Johnson, who is an up-and-coming pro, done very well. And he hit the ball on one shot, and it went off into what seemed to be just kind of where people were walking. And so he went up and he took his golf club, something that I try to never do, have a golf club in my hands, but from what I understand, he took it and he set it down and he touched the ground, okay? And then he hit the shot. And there were people all around him, and I couldn't believe that he could actually make a shot with all those people right around him. The problem was that ball was technically in a bunker, what they said on the course. Now, it looked like it was just on a path someplace that people were walking and traipsing over all the time. And so he didn't necessarily even think about that. But because he broke that rule, he lost two strokes and was no longer in contention for that championship. There was a big uproar. Oh, come on, that wasn't a bunker. Oh, come on, let him play. My gosh, this would have been exciting, a three-way playoff for the championship. But it was a rule, and it had been posted. It had been posted in the locker room. It had been, they'd met with the golfers. The officials had met with the golfers beforehand. All of this had taken place. And so He broke a rule and was not in contention to win that tournament. There are some situations where a rule is a rule is a rule, and they need to be applied. And yet, how does that jive with the reality that our namesake seemed to break rules? Jesus Christ. You've heard of him? Well known. Sometimes his name is even used on a golf course in certain ways. Maybe asking for help. Crying out. Maybe you've in a bunker and offered his name in some way. For us, as Christians, we understand that certainly there are guiding principles that we have. But there are going to be situations from time to time that we're placed into in which the rules have to be broken. Maybe a better way to put it is grace changes our perspective. We become less legalistic and more channels of grace to be able to allow God to work through us. Now, is God going to work through you whether you want it or not? Probably. But can we allow God to work through us? Certainly. And when we say, Lord, thy will be done, that's what we're doing. Your will, Lord. What you would have done. Your plan, not mine. You might even be thinking about a situation right now that is challenging you, and you're wondering how do you approach it, and how do you approach it in a way that God would have you approach it. Or maybe that's the problem why it is challenging, that you haven't considered that, that you haven't thought, okay, Lord, how would you have me deal with this difficulty? How would you have me deal with this problem? I'm going to be going into the jail for the girls and boys, teenage girls and teenage boys, over in Phoenix at the end of September, actually the very beginning of October, the first 2 days of October, the Kaya ministry. It's Hebrew. Kaya is Hebrew for new life. And it's a ministry where we go in and in essence love the kids, let them know that God loves them, encourage them to accept the saving relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Next week, in fact, we're going to have a list of a very important ministry tool that we use with these kids who are locked up, Little Debbie snack cakes. And you'll have the opportunity to bring those in so that we can offer those to them as well. But, and I don't want to see any open boxes either that you bring in. But what happens is, now there are certain rules that you have whenever you go in and you minister to these kids. There are certain parameters that are set up. But you know, and one of them is concerning contact. You have to be very aware of how you are connecting with these kids physically. Very aware because of things that they have gone through that you can't even imagine. And yet, inevitably, I know during that weekend, during that time of revival and renewal, during that time of hearts being broken and then healed, once again, there are going to be moments when we can't help it, and there's going to be an embrace. There's going to be a movement of the Holy Spirit. And maybe a couple rules will even be broken that the jail has. Nothing serious, mind you. But something happens, and we follow God rather than rules. We've all had that. We will continue to have that. In the scripture passage today, it's something that is more than simply a story about healing. It's a story about being willing to follow where God leads and how he leads in our lives. Jesus identifies with the woman who's bent over more than with the religious leader, the one who is seeking control. The woman, you see, after 18 years, she had no control. She had no control over anything. We can imagine for 18 years only being able to see the ground, not being able to look up and see the stars at all, only being able to turn to the side and to be able to look like that. In that day and age, also, not having any sort of respect or power, and would have been seen as unclean by society as well. So she was an outsider. Remember that. She was an outsider. And Jesus was there teaching in a synagogue. A rabbi. Certainly there were those who were out to get him, and there were those that did not like him. Plenty of those who were in positions of power, politically and socially, did not like Jesus, hated him. In fact, were looking for ways to get rid of him, to kill him. And yet Jesus is there at a place of great power and authority, teaching, and he calls her over. He calls that one who was on the outside in. She didn't ask for the healing. In other stories in the Bible, we understand that there was a request. Somebody comes up to Jesus. Sometimes it's even a pleading. In this situation, Jesus says, come here. There was a lot of people that gave up on this person. A lot of people that probably didn't even see her anymore. She was invisible. Have you ever given up on someone? Maybe it was for valid reasons. It seemed like they just took and took and took. And finally, you just said, enough already. Or maybe the person continued to be in a certain pattern of behavior that was destructive. And finally, you said, I don't know what else I can do. Have you ever given up on yourself? I think that's the saddest thing that happens. When we give up on ourselves. When we forget that we have a God who never forgets us. Again, remember that God who knew us in the womb? That is the same God who's not going to forget us. If he spent that much time on us thinking about us then, he continues to spend that much time on us thinking about us now. God never gives up on us. I think then we should give the God of the universe, the one who's created everything, at least enough respect to not give up on ourselves. To never say, that's it, I'm done. Looking at the ground, though, became a way of life for this woman. You know, whenever you meet somebody in the eyes, whenever you look them eye to eye, there's something that happens, isn't there? Some of you are saying, why is he looking at me? You've just kind of woken up from your nap, and now I'm staring at you, and you've wondered what I was saying, and what was happening, and you're thinking, uh-oh, is everybody looking at me? Is everybody watching me? No? Some of you look back, and you're excited about that, maybe because I'm funny looking, or maybe it's because, you know that there's a love behind that look. But sometimes we go through life and we're kind of staring at the ground also, like this woman, and we kind of feel maybe on the outside. We don't really want to have an interaction because we just don't feel like we have the energy for it. You know, and so we avert our stare. Or maybe we don't look at somebody because we know they're going to want an interaction and we really don't want that. We don't feel like we're up to it. There's a healing that happens here whenever Jesus notices someone, brings them in from the outside. There's a word that Jesus offers first, and then there's a touch that follows. And there's also a reference to the fact that this ailment, this weakness, if you will, is partly attributed to the work of the devil. I think that all of this comes together to remind us that when we pull away from community, or when we don't help to create community, just like Jesus was doing by pulling that woman in, then we are doing the work of Satan. When we don't welcome in someone to God's house, when we don't notice them, when we don't seek to be together as God's church, building His kingdom, healing His people, sharing His love and being channels of His grace, when we don't seek to do that, in other words, build the Christian community, then indeed the enemy is at work. And that's something to be aware of. When she was healed, did Satan's power have any control over her anymore? No. She was released from it. This is not meaning to say that illness is caused by Satan. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying that in this situation, there was a component that continued to grow in her soul, where she became more and more isolated. And that's exactly what the enemy wants. He wants us to be isolated from one another. He doesn't want us to be in community praising God. I can share that with you. No question about it. He wants us to kind of be on our own. For us, it's good news today that we have each been summoned by Christ back in. I'm not that guy, by the way. But we've been summoned by Christ spiritually back into community, saying to each of us in the healing that we need, come, I have a word of grace for you. I have a touch of power for you and you specifically. Isn't that wonderful to know that maybe if you even weren't thinking about being healed today or about healing in your life, God was thinking about it and continues to offer it and is offering it right now at this very moment. There's this whole debate in this dialogue then after the healing about the Sabbath. Now, we understand that God crowns the holy day of rest. It's in Genesis chapter 2. And also, the Lord rests from the work of creation, creating the world and the universe in 6 days. I think He deserves a day off, probably. It's a lot of work. You think you had a busy week? Okay, try that one. Therefore, the people of Israel shall not work on the Sabbath. That's in Exodus chapter 20. But Jesus, certainly, so you can say that about the Sabbath, that you go ahead and take it off. And this is something that the Pharisee was slamming Jesus with. What are you doing? What do you think you're doing on this day when we're not supposed to do anything? Jesus chooses another emphasis for the Sabbath from Deuteronomy chapter 5. The people are allowed to take a holy work, to do a holy work on the Sabbath. And this is how Jesus was interpreting the Sabbath. This is a holy work. Healing someone, bringing somebody back into the community, restoring someone's life, I think that's worthwhile. And he uses a familiar rabbinic ploy or tactic in working from the lesser to the greater when he says, don't you go ahead and untie your ox and give it water? I mean, when it needs it, wouldn't you do it on the Sabbath? So why are you denying this daughter of Abraham, this person who is in the lineage of Abraham, this sacred child of God, a blessing and a healing on this day. Certainly the Pharisee, okay, they were trying to be a guardian of the rules, but they were also trying to control people. And I think that's what Jesus had the problem with. They were trying to control people, trying to dictate what they could do socially, religiously, and God's grace wasn't in the picture at all. And so what Jesus is saying is, you've lost the point, you've lost the gist of what God wanted and intended. And what I'm doing is something that is holy and giving God the glory. What you're doing is trying to keep God in a box. It's important to remember that then. That sometimes God is going to guide us in ways that take us out of our comfort zone. Guide us to be with people that we wouldn't normally expect to be with. And guide us to share in ways that we'd never done before, that might even make us nervous. There's a hope in this message. Christ, of course, was doing this. Savior of the world, Son of God, certainly. But for each of us, we are equipped to do God's work, to be His hands, to be His voice, to speak a word of hope as Jesus did, to offer a touch of grace as Jesus did, and to not get so tied into legalism and saying, this is the only way to do it, but rather to say, how does God want me to do it? Does that make sense? How does God want you to be His disciple? Not only today, but each day. And how is He calling you to reach out to others? Sometimes in our time of discipleship, we kind of focus on what is happening in us. But today, I would invite you to think about how God is moving out from you. In mission, in discipleship, in offering of yourselves. You see, God has invited you into His family. And God has healed you. And God continues to speak to you. This word from Micah reminds us of what we are called to do as well, what kind of offering we are to make. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oils, in other words, physical things? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, O child, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? Jesus freed this woman. And then after freeing her and confronting the Pharisee, He continued to teach about what the kingdom of God is. You can read that. After this passage in Luke, He has two teachings about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is when we are free, not bound by a legalistic faith, but rather free to share our faith with a world who needs it now more than ever. Jesus has spoken to you. He has touched you, each and every one in here, and now He has called you to be a voice of hope, to be a voice of love to a world that needs it now more than ever. as we come into our time of discipleship and as you hear the music starting to play, take a few moments just to simply say in prayer, Lord, you've freed me as well. And I'm free now to be your disciple, to share words of grace, acts of love. Open me to how you would want me to be a disciple of your Son, my Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for loving me, for your voice, for your touch in my life. Now help me to offer that to your world.